Submitting to censorship is to enter the seductive world of the giver, the world where there are no bad words and no bad deeds. But it is also the world where choice has been taken away and reality distorted. And that is the most dangerous world of all. And this week's opening quote comes from Lois Lowry. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Censorship is the first act of a criminal government desperate to cover its ill-doings from the people that it is controlling. There's no reason for censorship other than to prevent people seeing things which you do not want them to see, which may reveal your own activities. Censorship is a very good indication of the level of corruption your government has degraded to. When censorship is introduced, it is a very good indication that your government has now reached a point where it is completely out of control, and the politicians have backed themselves into a corner so far with their criminal actions that they now need to introduce what is essentially thought crime, which is what censorship is. And of course, the governments always do this in order to cover up their own activities. You know, censorship is introduced not to cover up that which is dangerous or harmful. It's introduced in order to prevent people from ever asking questions that need to be asked. And governments introduce censorship because they do not want their actions questioned. That's just the way it is. And, you know, when the government deems itself to be worthy of dictating what people can or cannot look at, what people can or cannot say, what people can or cannot think, then you have really reached the end of any type of real society at all. In such a situation, there can be no expression of real humanity, there can be no development of genius, no development of new ideas, no thinking outside the box at all. Now, as I said, the introduction of censorship is essentially the introduction of thought crime. It is people dictating what you can think, what you can look at, what you can't look at, what is deemed safe for you, what is deemed unsafe for you. Censorship is someone telling you what you can or cannot think, and it is someone else making that decision for you. And the amount of censorship we've seen brought in Australia here is an open declaration of criminality by the Australian government, an open declaration of corruption, and an open declaration that they are about to bring the hammer down upon their people. The introduction of censorship in any society spells a very dangerous time for that society, because history has shown us that first comes the censorship, then comes the disappearances, then comes the imprisonment, then comes the executions. Yes, censorship is not acceptable in any progressive society. It's not beneficial to a progressive society. It's not beneficial for human development. It doesn't help anybody except those in power who have a lot to hide. And the Australian government has long overstepped its mark, and with the censorship that it's rolled out, it has shown to the people of Australia and to the people of the world that the criminals running the Australian government can no longer be trusted in any way, shape, or form. And it isn't just in Australia that we're seeing this as well. We're also seeing an inordinate amount of censorship brought in New Zealand and even in England, where people can now receive 15 years jail simply for viewing anything that the government deems to be terrorist-related or terrorist propaganda. And this is coming from someone like Theresa May, who is probably one of the world's greatest terrorists in her own right. And of course, that which is unacceptable in the eyes of the government is anything that exposes government criminality, government corruption, government terrorism, and the rampant mindlessness of these psychopathic parasites masquerading as a government that have taken control of this world. Now, you want to be able to rape and kill and plunder and pillage and just not have anyone talk about it, folks. That's just the nature of government these days. Bunch of parasites, bunch of psychopaths doing their best to destroy any vestige of human freedom or human creativity. Now, that's really the best description I can think of for government these days. I mean, imagine if you're applying for a government job and how easy it would be to fill out your application form when you put down attributes, personal attributes. All you'd really have to write would be parasite, and you're going to get the job. You know, attributes, ambitions, all this sort of stuff. All you got to do is write down one word. Parasite covers the whole spectrum. covers the whole spectrum of everything it means to be a politician. And well, perhaps you may think that I'm being a little bit cynical with that, or perhaps I sound a little angry, and to be honest, folks, you would be correct, because I'm extremely angry about what has happened, the censorship that's rolling out. I mean, it's not acceptable for politicians to do this. It's simply not what we employ these people to do. And more people need to speak out about this, because approving of censorship of anyone, approving of the silencing of any voice, is approving of the censorship of yourself. That's the way it works. If you're willing to silence one voice, then you're okay with your own voice being silenced. You know, and that might be okay in your situation in the world today, but what if something happens, you actually see something wrong and you want to say something about it and you can't? What do you do then? That's the thing, folks. People don't realize what censorship really means on a personal level, and they need to think about it. You know, freedom for all is freedom for all, and freedom of speech is the most basic foundation of freedom. Without that, you have nothing. You know, and the government is working very hard to silence any dissenting voices. It really is. So many sites are being blocked, and they're being blocked for no good reason. You know, Gab, BitChute, 8chan, 4chan, all these sorts of sites are being blocked. What for? Because they're saying, oh, terrorists can use them. It isn't that, folks. It's because they're unregulated, because they can't censor what you do. You know, if they really want to bring in censorship and say all of this sort of stuff is supporting terrorist propaganda, well, what about Facebook, where that guy streamed a live video to begin with? Why hasn't Facebook been censored? If they're going to censor 4chan and 8chan for the same reason, then why haven't they censored Facebook? Why haven't they censored YouTube? Why haven't they pulled them down altogether and blocked them from everybody accessing them? Because it isn't about the fact that people use these things for terrorism. It isn't anything to do with terrorism. What it's about is promoting government psychological terrorism by controlling what you can and cannot say and can and cannot do and can and cannot watch. What it's about is controlling any sites that the government can't regulate itself because they don't want you talking about them. And like I said, folks, this level of censorship simply is not acceptable. Not under any type of government, doesn't matter who they are. Because freedom of speech is essential to any functional society. I mean, this gives the government the ability to be able to do anything, and it removes us of the ability to be able to sound any warning bells. It completely derails any effort for whistleblowers in the future. It doesn't matter how corrupt any organization, any government organization, any type of situation is, nobody will be able to blow the whistle on it, because if they do, reporting the crime will be classed as a crime. I mean, that's what they've done with this Assange arrest, folks. And as I said last week, it doesn't matter whether you like Assange or not. That's not the point. The point is what it means to the international legal system, what it means to whistleblowers, what it means to human rights, what it means to censorship, what it means to being able to spread the word about anything, having freedom of speech or freedom of thought about anything we do online. These days are over simply because our governments are dictating that is the way it should be. And they're doing this under the pretext of keeping us safe. And all I can think is, what on earth is wrong with people? Why isn't the entire nation in an uproar about this? I mean, what's happened to people? Are they so lost in their virtual world that they haven't noticed half the virtual world has disappeared now? Are people that stuck on Instagram and Facebook that they haven't noticed a lot of the other sites are all being shut down? A lot of the free flow of information is being shut down. It's getting to the point that you can't talk about anything, and Google controls what people must do and what people must think. It's getting to the point where Google is going to be able to control what you can and cannot buy if people are not careful and don't start making some noise about this. And so, yes, I am a little disturbed at the moment, folks, the way things have been snowballing this year and the lack of response from such a large majority of the population. I mean, sure, there's a lot of activists out there who can see what's going on. I'm sure a lot of people who listen to the radio show can see what's going on. But perhaps you could play this radio show to your parents or friends or neighbours or these people who are stuck there with their heads in the TV, who cannot see this slavery system closing in around them, because it is becoming very, very real and it is getting right in everybody's face. And as I said, folks, censorship is just the first part. Because following censorship comes the disappearances, then comes the executions, and then comes the complete lockdown of anybody who's left. And people will simply disappear in the night. And this is the way activists and dissidents and people who speak out against the system will be squeezed out of the system. They'll just do it through social crediting, gradually squeeze you out of anywhere to live or any way to get transport or any way to buy food, and you'll end up destitute on the street, and you'll likely end up in the smart prison system. That's how they do it, folks. The revolution will not be televised, and neither will the disappearance and execution of the dissidents. I mean, that's the way it will be with social crediting, folks. You'll have people simply go out to do some shopping one day and simply not come home. And no one will ever know what happened to them. They'll fill in a complaint, lodge it with the police or whatever, and they'll never hear anything back. The police will simply say, well, we're working on it. But they won't do anything because they already picked the guy up and put them wherever they wanted to put them anyway, and that's just the way it will go. Now, people really don't see what this system has the potential of becoming and really what it's going to lead to, and it's imperative that they wake up to it. It really is. But I digress. You know, I wasn't going to be talking about any of this stuff this week. There was a whole other idea that I had to bring information to you about the smart system and what's going on. And I know a lot of people have been waiting for me to weigh in on what happened over Easter in Sri Lanka and all this sort of stuff, but I'm still looking at that, folks, so I don't really want to talk about that at the moment. But I was going to talk about other things anyway. I wasn't going to talk about this. But this whole censorship issue has really struck a chord with me. It really has. Press TV's channel was disabled on YouTube not so long ago, a week or so ago. The same thing as what they did with mine. You know, the channel's still there, but Press TV cannot access the channel. They cannot upload to it. That they can't even open their Gmail accounts, and they receive no notification as to this disabling even happening. They just tried to log on and found that they couldn't. And at least I got a notification. But this is the way it's going, folks. They're just censoring everything. And they're controlling what everybody can and cannot think. You know, they really want to control the flow of information. That's what all this is about. Something else that also makes me concerned is what they may have planned for the nation of Iran since they've disabled the news service. You know, if we can't get any information out from that country, well, the West can basically do anything they want, and we won't hear anything about it. We won't get any news. And we'll have no way of really knowing what's going on except what we're told by CNN and Fox and all of these other mainstream sources, which, of course, will be nothing even close to the truth. You know, Trump has also suggested that any countries that are receiving oil or buying oil from Iran should go under sanctions as well. So he's doing everything he can to kickstart this war that Israel so desperately wants. And again, if people think Trump is the savior, that he's really going to do anything good and he's really going to change the system, folks, just look at this guy's actions. Look at what he's done. Look at the state of the world today compared to what it was when he took office. And really, there's no comparison, folks. This guy is not your friend any more than any other politician. I mean, look what's just happened in Saudi Arabia. One of his greatest friends that he's supplying, I don't know how many billions of dollars worth of arms to every year, they've just decided they would behead 37 people today or yesterday. Wonderfully progressive nation. Great ally to the United States, and they want to sanction Iran for inhuman behavior while they're funding Saudi Arabia while it bombs the living hell out of Yemen and chops the heads off 37 people in one day. And if you think Trump is really your savior, folks, well, that's a pretty good indication of where his priorities really lie. And Trump's rolling out 5G as quick as he can as well. I mean, nothing that he's doing is serving the people, ladies and gentlemen, and it's important that people notice this is what's happening with all of our governments. You know, it's out of control. The whole system's out of control. It's one big crime family. And I cannot stress that point enough, and I keep repeating it because it's simply true, and it's a point that really needs to be drummed home with people. You know, 5G, the cashless control grid, the surveillance system, and the social crediting system that's going with it really is the ultimate end game for the politicians. And if you can really step back and take in the bigger picture, folks, the introduction of a social crediting system is the ultimate form of mind control. It really is, because you've got a society here who has become completely dependent upon tech. You know, think about it. You've got kids that are growing up through school. They're given these iPads and iPhones and all these things as soon as they enter school. And they're taught how to use these things all the way up through the scholastic system. So that by the time they leave school, they're completely dependent upon it. And when you've got a situation where all the information is controlled and you're not allowed to think or say certain things, you know, if you step outside the lines and you do say the wrong thing and you risk getting locked out of certain services because you lose social credit points, then you're going to be ostracized by other people and your whole life is going to disappear. You know, if you can't enter a supermarket or you can't go to a bank or you can't get a flight anywhere, you can't go on a holiday with your friends or anything simply because you're down on social credit points because you questioned the governments or you questioned the vaccine agenda. Perhaps you had a child who got a vaccine and got autism from it and you told someone about it, and so you suddenly find yourself down on social credit points because of that conversation, because all the smart devices everywhere were listening to you. And so suddenly you get locked out of the system and you're not able to do the most basic of things. This is the ultimate form of mind control, where people are too scared to even think what they want to think or say what they want to say about anything because they're scared they'll be penalized and locked out of their life for doing so. You know, it's the ultimate form of slavery, the ultimate form of mental slavery, the ultimate form of physical slavery. It creates a prison system in the open in the society that we live in. You know, we've all been taught to walk between the lines and cross at the crossing and go when the green light says go, and all the things that we've been given anyway to train us to obey all these little commands on cue everywhere we go. And now it's getting to the point where these are becoming digital lines, barriers that you can't even see, barriers that will be crossed if you think the wrong way or say the wrong thing or look the wrong way or associate with the wrong person. And all of this will be dictated by other people. You know, you end up with a society of drones, and that's what these criminal scumbag parasites masquerading as government are putting in place to control the people. Government is not your friend, ladies and gentlemen. And that's just the way it is. You know, but unfortunately, it's no surprise to me to see this censorship being rolled out. This is something that I predicted 4 or 5 years ago. As soon as the Flat Earth movement came about, folks, as soon as the resistance was divided the way it happened, I said it's going to lead to internet censorship. They're going to be able to use this to promote the whole fake news meme, to provide an example of exactly why they need to censor the internet because of all the fake information out there and what it's doing and the division it's causing and the fighting it's causing and the belief systems it's creating in people, to tell people just how far they've been led away from reality and all the things that they're doing right now. And unfortunately, all of this is extremely predictable, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flat earthers complain that I said that, but hey, folks, it's something that I predicted 4 or 5 years ago, and it's what we're seeing now. But I mean, not just flat earth, and it, you know, like, there isn't even anything wrong with people wanting to research that. It's just the way it was played, which is what I was trying to point out to people. It was the incredible animosity that welled up between two factions, how the whole resistance was divided into two factions. And then you couple that with Pizzagate, what they did with that, how they were able to push this whole fake news thing, and then the whole thing culminates in what just happened in Christchurch, New Zealand, and then the huge amount of ripples that we've seen from that, very predictably again. And now here we see complete internet censorship, and it's just getting worse and worse as they continue to roll it out. You know, and trying to find ways to combat this, really, it all comes down to getting the information to people. And this is where the mainstream media has truly failed on the most phenomenal scale ever witnessed in media history, I would suggest. I mean, the mainstream media is so far off target in what they've been reporting on the news. I mean, they've always been bad. But here we see a complete lockdown, blanket censorship being rolled out, and they're not even asking questions. If anything, they're supporting it. If anything, they're acting more and more as the unofficial mouthpiece of government than they ever have been. In fact, looking at how this whole thing goes down and has gone down, how things have gone down so much in the past, looking at the whole thing, it's difficult not to implicate the media as being complicit in all of the crimes that government is able to carry out, because they wouldn't be able to carry out any of them were the media not complicit in the support of these crimes. You know, and the media was constructed in order to be the government watchdog. The media was constructed in order to blow the whistle on government misdoings and to tell us, we the people, what is actually going on in the world. But all the media does now is feed us what the government tells them they should feed us. And it is so far from the truth that it has become an absolute parody of reality. It really has. There's no truth anywhere in the mainstream media. You know, true journalism has all but disappeared from the world. There may be one or two sources left, but they're private sources, and these will probably soon be squeezed out of existence as well. because soon it's going to be illegal. Soon it's going to be classed as terrorist propaganda to even say anything against government at all. It'll be seen as terrorist propaganda to even speak out against vaccination soon. I think they're already classing it as promoting self-harm if you're an anti-vaxxer or you're saying anything against the poisons that they put into people and the incredible damage this is doing to our society. If you say anything about that, you're encouraging self-harm. How that works, folks. I mean, see, they put everything backwards. You know, vaccines are doing an incredible amount of damage, and yet if you tell people not to take these poisons, you're promoting self-harm. How does that work? You know, all the government does is promote self-harm. All this society is about is harming people, I think. I mean, the whole society seems to be a self-harm system when it all comes down to it. But it is getting quite desperate, folks. I mean, it's important that people really do pay attention to these things. And I really try to keep things positive on these radio shows. I mean, last week, the information I was bringing to you about the 5G action and all the stuff we can do, this is great and this is positive, but this is only going to work if people participate as well. And it isn't just the 5G. It isn't just the smart grid. It's everything else. I mean, this censorship and just the fact, like I say, folks, the world is run by criminals. See, that's the thing. It doesn't matter what we do. We can speak out against 5G. We can speak out against this censorship. We can do what we can to have all this stuff rolled back. But until we address the fact that our governments are a bunch of criminal parasites who are just going to sneak it in another way, even if we roll it back this way and we stop them doing what they're doing, they're just going to sneak it in another way as soon as we take our eyes off them. And this is going to continue until people are prepared to admit the reality that it's a big criminal gang anyway. You know, they're just criminals. We don't have to do what they say. You know, in fact, these people should be arrested and put in jail. They should be on Christmas Island. They should be put somewhere very far away from the rest of society so they can't hurt people anymore. And again, there may be people who would debate that and say that I'm a little bit harsh, but folks, the world is run by criminals. These parasites that we have managing our government do not have our best interests in heart, and the evidence is right there in front of your eyes, because the evidence is the fact that this system is rolling out to begin with. The evidence is the state that the world is in right now. The evidence is the fact that I even need to do a radio show like this. The evidence is simply that this is even a topic for discussion. You know, and the fact that this is a topic for discussion is a great indication that the world is run by criminals. You know, that's the situation that we've got, folks. And until people are prepared to admit this one basic truth about all of our governments, it doesn't matter what we do, we're never really going to get anywhere. You know, while people continue to think government is their friend and the elements within the government are going to help them and that there's going to be mass arrests in the United States and that's somehow going to change the world, you know, while people are continuing to go down this pathway, we're just being led on further and further every day. 5G is rolling out more and more every day. Within the next 6 months to 2 years, it'll be too late to stop it, and everyone will have been sitting there waiting for mass arrests and eating popcorn and thinking the world's about to change because someone on YouTube told them so. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous, folks. We need to start taking things into hand ourselves, and we don't need violence or anything like that. All we need to do is make our voices heard. You know, be prepared to talk to your neighbours. Be prepared to talk to your community. Be prepared to go and make a bit of a noise at public gatherings and a bit of a noise at some of these government meetings and let them know that we're not happy. Let them know that we're going to start taking action against them and that we've figured out what's going on. You know, we're not going to support government anymore because we've decided that we're no longer going to support organized crime. It's really as simple as that. Yeah, well, bit of a rant, I suppose. But it does get frustrating, ladies and gentlemen. It does get frustrated seeing the world in this state and being someone who's been standing up on the hill screaming out, warning and ringing the bells for so many years, to see it all rolling out now so quickly. I mean, I said this year was going to be a big year. We're going to definitely see some changes. And, well, we have really seen these changes. And, as I said, they're just continuing more and more. I'm wondering what's going to come over the hill tomorrow. You never know what's right around the corner these days, folks. Everything just seems to be rolling out so fast. And it's happening in every country. I believe they're having a little bit of trouble with their gun legislation in New Zealand. People aren't too willing about handing their firearms in, and that's a good thing. Hopefully there's some questions welling about this. Hopefully the Royal Commission that they intend to have into the shooting will actually be a real Royal Commission that will look at the real evidence regarding that shooting. And maybe that will achieve something. But even if it does achieve something, it's doubtful that it's going to help roll back this internet censorship. So we have to figure out some other way of doing things. I mean, getting VPNs and stuff is one thing, but the point is we shouldn't have to be getting VPNs. The government shouldn't be thinking that it can dictate these parameters to us. And really, it's up to the people to stand up and say something about this, you know, locate the politicians who've enacted this legislation and say that this is not acceptable. It's not what we employ them to do. I mean, I do this. I write letters to them. I call their office. I do all this sort of stuff. But I'm only one voice, and it doesn't work if only one voice does it. Now, the entire population needs to do it. The entire population needs to rally together to deal with this criminal system. And hopefully people can see now that it is a criminal system. You know, hopefully even the people in Australia, good old Apathralia, will see that this government does not have their best interests at heart, that all this stuff they're doing is not serving us at all. But again, you know, one of the big problems in even attempting to create some sort of groundswell and get the people of Australia to stand up is getting the information to them. I mean, how many of them listen to my radio show? How many of them visit the right YouTube channels? How many people out there in the mainstream of society know where the real information is? You know, when they go and look, of course, they get bombarded with conspiracy theories and everyone screaming and arguing about everybody else and accusing everybody else. They don't find any unity. They don't find anything of much sanity in the independent media anymore. So that certainly doesn't help matters either. But, you know, all of this has been planned, all of this has been long orchestrated and long in the making. That's one of the reasons why they created YouTube, I think, folks. That's the way to drown out all the voices, is to give everybody a soapbox so that everybody becomes a voice. That way, nobody gets heard. None of the real information is ever able to find its way to the surface because it gets shouted down in the cacophony of everybody else, who all wants to be the one out there having their opinion heard. Of course, this is because people are desperately searching for some meaning and some value in their lives because of the value that was never given to them as children, because most people in the modern world had their parents replaced by television, and that bond that they should have had that would have given them real value in their lives simply as a basic human being, the basic human value we all have just for being human. They don't have that. Many people don't have that anymore because it was taken from them. And now they're searching for it without even knowing what they're looking for. And that's, of course, why when you do give everybody their own soapbox, everybody desperately wants to use it. And they want to be the one who everybody listens to because they want to find that value for themselves. But anyway, folks, I think we've reached break time, so I better leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. Sorry, it's such a ranty show, but I guess I just have to get this stuff off my chest somehow. But we'll take a break now, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, things are certainly ramping up and escalating in the world today, but at least it is getting in people's face, and we are seeing more and more people rising up against it. Of course, they do undertake operations to stop these movements, such as we recently saw in France. The Yellow Vest movement was really gaining some ground and just wasn't going to let up, and so they just burnt down a cathedral, and that seemed to neutralise that pretty well. It was a great shame to see the Notre Dame Cathedral burn, because it was such a spectacular building, you know, as far as architecture and artistic perspective goes. It was a really wonderful looking building. People will say, well, it's just an old Catholic church. I don't actually think it was a Catholic church, folks. I think it was a Tartarian building. I think these buildings, none of them were actually churches to begin with. I think they were all very likely power stations, and it kind of makes me wonder what they found in there that they needed to burn it so quickly. But also, as I said, it was a very effective way of neutralising the Yellow Vest movement. It will be good to see if that rises up again and regains the potential and regains the foothold that it had. And of course, with the shooting in Christchurch, the attack upon Muslims in the mosque, and then burning a Christian church and attacking Al-Aqsa Mosque and burning that at the same time. And we've seen dozens of churches attacked in Sri Lanka and all of this sort of stuff. So they're really putting the East against West meme into action, really pushing that, trying to push the Muslims and Christians against each other. I'll leave you one question, who might be doing that? There'd be another religion that isn't involved in those two that would very much like to see those two destroy each other. And all the world truly is a stage, ladies and gentlemen. But it's been interesting to see how all this has gone down anyway. You know, we are seeing a lot of people rise up against the system. A lot of people have really had enough. And so we're seeing all sorts of these actions happen to keep us distracted, keep us looking in other directions other than what we should be looking at. We're seeing a pretty huge outcry against 5G around the world as well, which is a good thing. I mean, the government's intent on rolling this out anyway, but there is action that we can undertake to stop that happening. Last week I was talking about the 5G action that we've mounted here in Australia that's been mounted by a barrister. And he's touring around the country and helping people mount actions against 5G at the moment, which is really good. I've sent him an email. I'm going to have him on the show either next week or the week after. I'll just figure out when we've both got the time to put it together, and I'll record a show with him, and I'll bring that to you so that you can get the nitty-gritty from the horse's mouth, so to speak, and perhaps be able to use this information to mount actions in your area, because it is imperative that we stop the rollout of 5G, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. You know, as I've mentioned to people so many times, 5G is essentially a weapons system more than anything else. You know, they're presenting it to us as a communication system, and certainly it's capable of that, but the underlying nature of the 5G system makes it an incredibly dangerous system, and it gives the government the ability to be able to conduct any type of electromagnetic warfare you can think of against the population of their countries. I mean, any time they choose to do so. The capability is there. That's what the system is. That's what 5G is, more than anything else. I mean, sure, they need something like 5G bandwidth to run their Internet of Things and their whole cashless surveillance grid, the whole social crediting grid they want to roll out. And they need that type of bandwidth for it. But as I said, underneath it is the capability that they can actually disable and penalize people via the system by remote control. I mean, they don't even have to send anyone around to disable you. They can very likely simply disable you with the 5G system and then send the police around or someone around to pick you up, and there won't be much you can do about it because you will have already been disabled by the 5G system. But folks, with all this coming online, like the social crediting system, the smart system that they want to bring in Darwin, which they were going to have the polls up ready for that on Anzac Day, which was last Thursday, and they intend to have all of the infrastructure in place by the end of the financial year so they can get the system up and running. And this system completely depends upon smart technology to run, and if people throw away their smartphones, then the system simply won't work, because it won't be able to track them everywhere they go. It won't know when they've crossed the virtual fences that the government wants to put up. The whole thing runs off your smartphone, ladies and gentlemen. This is a tracking device. Your smartphone records every single thing that you do. It even knows when you get in and out of vehicles. It knows everything that you do. That is simply the nature of mobile phones, folks. And these are another thing, you know, that people think are their friends, but they're not. They're a surveillance device, a tracking device, that is also very effectively removing people of their life skills, in as much as it's removing people of their ability to think. Now, an interesting thing, you know, a couple of years ago, I did a show called Giving Life to Lucifer, where I talked about scrying mirrors and sigils and how witches in covens will put these symbols around and believe that they're summoning forces through these scrying mirrors. But really, when you look at the sigils that you are supposed to use for summoning demons, all of them look like electronic circuitry, and the scrying mirrors, of course, very much look like cell phones. And I've often suggested that these things, these tales of scrying mirrors and these sigils and these pieces of information were left for us, not as a set of instructions on how to create some sort of a little black magic circle, but actually as a warning to inform us of what the internet really does, what this electrical control grid really is. You know, it is information that tells us that you're getting to the end of the cycle and they're about to summon this demonic force that they call Lucifer, whatever, this demonic force, which is used to cull the population. And that people need to be very careful and pay attention when they see these sigils and scrying mirrors in use, and to stay away from these things, because it is in the use of these things, this is what summons the human cull, is this giving over of humanity to technology, this giving over of human intellect into these scrying mirrors, the stealing of all human intellect into the AI system. It's like it's harvesting all of our knowledge and stealing all of our knowledge and putting it into a virtual world, removing us of all of the knowledge, the accumulation of this particular batch of human intellect, and collecting it all in one place for correlation to see what people figured out, how far they've got, and then simply culling the herd to start again. It's almost like some sort of an intellectual and spiritual harvest that happens at the end of each cycle. And you can tell when the harvest is going to happen because you see the sigils and the scrying mirrors in use. Now, people seriously need to put down their cell phones, put down their smartphones. They really do need to get rid of this technology. Stop enslaving themselves to it. You know, we don't need it. And even with the internet, even with the connectivity we've got computers at home. We can still talk to each other online and do all these sorts of things. We don't need to carry these devices around with us. That's the key to the whole thing, folks, you know. And so many people that I talk to, they say they're willing to do anything, absolutely anything they can to stop this system. And then I ask them, are you willing to throw away your smartphone? And they go, well, I kind of need that, but I'm using that to fight the system. I'm thinking, well, you may be using it to fight the system, but it is the system. So you're using the system to fight against itself. It's kind of like the QTubers waiting for government to rescue them from government. It's the same sort of thing, folks. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. You know, but again, you know, there's elements within the system we can use against the system. Same, I mean, I'm using the internet to get information out to people, but I don't carry a scrying mirror around with me anywhere. I don't carry a surveillance device with me. I just do it on my computer at home. So you can use elements of the system to get the word out. So it's like with the barrister using this illegal action against 5G. I mean, the whole legal system's fiction anyway, but if we can use sections of it against the system, then it may wake Joe Public up to the fact that they're being scammed. So, you know, you've got to be prudent in how you discern all of these things, and you've got to really see what you can use and what you can't use. But there's no good carrying a mobile phone around with you everywhere and thinking that you're actually combating anything, because it is the cell phone is an integral part of the system. You know, they need you to be carrying that cell phone around for the system to work. You could leave it at home. You could just do all your stuff at home. You could take a camera out with you and do your interviews that way, and then take them home and upload them to a laptop and upload them from there. You don't need to live stream online through a cell phone, folks. It may be easy and convenient, but it is the system itself. The ability for you to do that is everything that we are speaking out against, because that is what supports 5G. That is what supports the Internet of Things. That is what supports the mass surveillance. That is what supports social crediting. And you're going to get to a point soon anyway where you'll be out there streaming something on YouTube, and you'll be some activist doing an interview of someone on the street, and just the topic that you're streaming will cause you to get blacklisted and lose social credit points and locked out of the system anyway. And again, if you didn't have that surveillance device on you, then they wouldn't be able to do that. Now, if you were using a cell phone, it'd be a lot harder for them to track you down anyway. And they certainly wouldn't be able to penalize you in real time the way they can with the cell phone. Simply drop social credit points and say, yep, now you can't walk across that barrier. Sorry, you could 5 minutes ago and we didn't alert you to the fact, but now that we've dropped another social credit point because you jaywalked across that last intersection, so now you're just down that one extra point, so you had to notify the police to come and grab you and tell you that you're not allowed into this shopping center anymore. That'll be how you'll find out about it. That'll be how you'll find out you're down on social credit points, you know. And again, this couldn't happen if people weren't using their cell phones to do everything that they do and taking these things with them everywhere they go. You know, that's the problem, folks. That is the whole cause of the issue. That is the whole basis of the control grid. You know, if you didn't use this thing, we didn't have these things, then it wouldn't be able to happen. Again, it's this whole concept of these scrying mirrors, and when you see these sigils in use, you're about to move yourself into a very, very dark place. And that's where we're going, folks. So it's time for people to pay attention and put this stuff down, you know, get back to what it means to be human, get back in touch with nature. I mean, I'm not saying drop offline altogether, and I'm certainly not going to do that. All I'm saying is put down your smartphone. Go back to a laptop. Go back to a computer. Even a desktop is better than a laptop. But hey, you know, some people want to be a little bit mobile, be able to go to their friend's place or whatever. So, you know, whatever. But use a computer. Don't use a cell phone, folks. Go back to a dumb phone and just have a computer at home. You know, if you're finding it difficult to put your cell phone down, go and do some research on them. Just go and find out how much surveillance really is carried out on these devices and how much they are tracking every single action you perform. It's kind of creepy when you start looking at it and thinking about it. You know, nothing that you do is secret. Nothing is private. Nothing is ever not under scrutiny by someone that you don't know. And not only someone that you don't know, but someone involved in an organization as completely and utterly corrupt as government. You know, an organization that has waged war and killed and enslaved people for generations upon generations. This is who wants to know everything about everybody. And as I said last week, you know, when I look at Tartaria and I look at this lost culture and people wonder how it fell, I can see it with what we're doing now. I can see how any culture could fall. All you have to do is distract them with these scrying mirrors, get them to look at other things, get them to go ogle at stuff online rather than looking at the world around them and paying attention to the world around them, and remove them of their life skills as you do it. Teach them that it's all about how to think and function in numbers and letters and all of the stuff that you get online, none of which is anything that exists in the real world, none of which is any type of life skill which will help you build a house or grow food or have any type of survival skills at all. You know, take all the survival skills away from people, pack them into these cities, and then simply turn the power off. You know, if that happens, what do you think would be the culmination of such an event, folks? You know, and whether there's a cataclysm, whether there's a plasma event, whether there's a flood, whether there's a cosmic event, whatever it is that happens, if this event happens and the people that are survivors from that event don't have any life skills left, then it's going to be very few that make it through the aftermath. And those that do make it through the aftermath will be very easy to go and mop up and bend to your will again. Start the whole slavery system again and build it up till it's time for the next cull. Now you look at this, folks, and you start looking at the stories of other creatures and other cultures and stories of giants, stories of all of the mythical creatures that we hear about. And you have to wonder how many of these cults have happened and how many times have the species on this earth been replaced. What is really going on here? This is what makes me question whether there's land they're hiding on the earth that we don't know about. That there's people here that are manipulating this whole thing and we simply don't know that they're here because they're not on our maps and we're not allowed to travel to certain regions, so we can never really go and find out because we believe authority is real and we've got to do what we're told. I mean, it might be a pretty out there concept for people to think about this, but the fact is that we don't really know, folks. We have no real clue what's going on here at all. All we know is what we're told. All we know is what exists in living memory and what we get from books, and none of the books seem to be very factual at all once you really start traveling around the world and looking at things. The things you see certainly don't correlate with what we read in history books anyway. You know, and even when we travel around the world and look at these places, very often people just do it as tourists and they go and look at this wonderful mystery that exists and wonder why it's a mystery, you know, and they don't ever really ask the questions and they don't really have the time to ask the questions because they're too busy running on the treadmill trying to survive and just get that little snippet of a moment where they can actually go and look at these things anyway. When they get there, they just believe the story that they're fed and they go away wondering and they don't ever really think about the fact that perhaps it was all wrong. Perhaps that was just all fabricated. Perhaps there's something very, very different going on this earth. And a lot of people just don't have time to even entertain these thoughts is the problem. You know, so we never really look at things. We never really question things. We just think the world is all based on this economic system. It's all about climbing to the top of the pile and collecting all this meaningless stuff while we live in these prefab throwaway societies. And we never question. We never really look at the bigger picture, and I really do wonder what on earth is really going on here. Another interesting thing about looking at these cyclic cataclysms that do seem to appear is many people are suggesting that it could be some type of plasma event. And that is entirely possible, folks, and the question needs to be asked, what sort of plasma field could you set up by putting 5G antennas everywhere? Could you create the type of plasma field they're talking about? Could you create something like earthquakes or soil liquefaction or any of these types of things through 5G plasma? Is this possible? It's an interesting question to ask. There are many things that we know they can do with 5G. I mean, another thing that I've heard is that field tests have been conducted on soldiers in the American military and they found out that they're able to induce the symptoms of Alzheimer's in anybody. Like, you know, someone 24 years old can be bombarded with radiation and start exhibiting the signs of Alzheimer's within 2 weeks. I mean, that could be a way out as well. They could simply turn the entire population of a city into a bunch of mewling idiots and let them come to their own natural demise by their own inability to be able to think or fend for themselves from that point. And people may wonder about this whole concept of periodic culls every 200 years, regular cataclysms, or any of the stuff that I've been sort of leaning towards lately, and I'm not saying it's true, I'm simply leaning towards, I'm looking at the evidence, and this is what the evidence is suggesting to me, so that's why I've been pursuing this line of thought. But, you know, even looking at that, And seeing if there's anything else that supports this type of concept, well, you've really got to just look at the cities that we build, folks. Look at the type of buildings that we use. Look at the concrete that we use. Look at the bricks we use. The way we build structures now, we don't build anything to last. Even high-rise buildings that are built are kind of built with a 100-year lifespan. So, you know, some of these buildings are huge, you know. There's New York City and stuff. I mean, how are you going to pull these buildings down once their 100-year lifespan is up? You know, controlled demolition or whatever. I mean, it seems like a huge waste of time to build something that big if it's only going to last 100 years. And why only build it with a 100-year lifespan? Why wouldn't you build it to last if you make this incredible architectural feat and the architect's proud or whatever? You know, you built this structure. You want it to last. You want it to be like Notre Dame Cathedral that's going to be there for 800 years or something, you know. But we don't build anything like that. We build prefab construction, and it's temporary construction. We don't build anything to last. So why is that? Was it just to turn over the economic model to keep it going, to keep the workers with stuff to do because they've got to keep repairing things? Or is it because they just don't expect it to last because they know these cataclysms come every few hundred years or every 200 years or every so often anyway? Perhaps they don't even know what the regular cycle is. Perhaps they do, perhaps they don't. Perhaps that's what a lot of these ancient monuments were about, to help us be aware of when these cycles were coming. Perhaps it is written in the stars, like so many people say. But it's an interesting question, folks. Why are all of our buildings constructed to be so easily demolished, and why are they all constructed in such a haphazard, temporary way? Why are they all constructed in a manner which suggests the people who built them never intended them to last at all? That's an interesting question, ladies and gentlemen. You know, many, many times on the show, I've referred to this system that we live in as a system of people farming. You know, we're living in a people farm. And when you look at the stuff that I've talked about today, this whole 5G control grid, the culling of the population, the fact that all of our civilizations are temporary, all of our structures are temporary, you know, everything that we see in the world today supports the hypothesis that this is simply a people farm, and we're being led to a certain point where humankind is harvested. Whether that's a physical harvest of our bodies, whether it's a harvest of our souls, whether it's a harvest of our minds, our intellect, or our spirit, or higher etheric realms, or energetic beings, or whatever you want to go into. I mean, it's a whole nother discussion. But that's what appears to be happening, you know. And when you see that the underlying fabric of this society is based on fear, I mean, all of it is based on fear, fear-based mind control, it's the whole thing, folks, just the way we have to worry about survival so much and gathering the paper we need to pay to be alive and getting these little pennies to put in our money boxes and, you know, in fear of the concrete jungles we live in, everything about this system, fear of terrorism, the neighbors, the other countries, I mean, everything, shootings at mosques and churches and whatever, blowing up and buildings burning down, and I mean, everything they do, folks. It's all designed to keep us in that fear vibration. And as I've said so many times on the show, as I've said so many years, this whole reality is an emotional mirror. You know, everything I've done in my life, I've been able to do by speaking through this emotional mirror. I mean, my life was a complete train wreck for the first half of my life because I was speaking through the emotional mirror, and I was in a state of really looking down on myself and thinking that I was just a worthless piece of nothing because I wasn't like other people. I couldn't have normal, mundane, everyday conversations. I couldn't do these things. So I felt that I was useless and worthless, and my life was useless and worthless, and it was like that because it was an emotional mirror. That was the emotional state that I was in. As soon as I changed my emotional state and I saw the value of myself and I put myself in the state where the prayers that I wanted had already been answered, my whole life changed, and everything just started to flow the way it's supposed to flow. You know, I got the job as a radio host because I put myself in the emotional state where I was a radio host, and within 6 weeks I was a radio host and I did nothing to get that job. And this is how it works, folks. And when you really see this and you begin to truly understand the power of emotion, you can see how we could so easily get out of this mess. This is what I've often said, you know, we could change the world in 3 seconds if there was a worldwide epiphany. And everyone simply changed their perspective. We could literally change the world that quickly. 3 seconds, we could all be doing something different. And is that going to happen? No, because there probably won't be this worldwide epiphany. But that doesn't mean it isn't possible that we can do this. That doesn't mean that isn't how powerful our minds are, because our minds are incredibly powerful. And this is why technology isn't even really the threat. You know, the scrying mirrors and this whole smart system isn't really the threat. It's our inability to deal with it in the right way. It's our inability to love ourselves and to love each other through this. Now, something that's really happened with the internet, by giving everybody a soapbox and allowing everybody to have an opinion, there's been an incredible amount of hatred and trolling and energy harvesting from people online. You know, so many people write so many hateful things on video clips. I mean, I do it on my clips. I just hit the block button now. Because this sort of stuff, I mean, it's bullying. People get online and they bully other people that they've never met simply because they disagree with them. They disagree with their ideas or whatever, so they bully them and they harvest that energy from them. And they do that because they're disconnected themselves. But this creates ripples and this keeps people in this low fear vibration. You get to a point where you don't even want to post anything on YouTube because you're in fear of what the comments may be. I mean, I've heard this from people. You know, beautiful women who've got channels who want to get the message out there, and all people can do is give them a hard time about what they look like. The girls attack them, the guys make sexual slurs about them, and then other people pay out on their boyfriends or whatever because, oh, you shouldn't be with this guy there, you're too hot for him or whatever, and all this sort of stuff. And so they get in fear of even posting anything or putting their opinion out there because of the amount of bullying they get from other people. And that's what trolling is, folks. When you're out there trolling someone's videos, you're being a bully. And being a bully is a lot of what has happened to the world. It's a lot of what is wrong with the world. Look at the situation in Israel and Palestine, folks. It's because the government of Israel are just a bunch of bullies. You know, most of the Israeli people are a bunch of bullies, this whole supremacist attitude. So this is what we're seeing online. It's what we're seeing in so many aspects of our society. And this is a huge, huge problem. And as I've said so many times, folks, you know, if you can really look at yourself and see the beauty of yourself and see the perfection of yourself with whatever flaws you may perceive you have, okay, it's necessary for you to have these flaws, for you to experience life from that perspective. And that perspective is needed because otherwise you wouldn't be here. That's a big clue. The fact that you exist means that a perspective is needed. So if we can just see this in ourselves and see this perfection in ourselves, then all the barriers break down with other people and we can change the world in a day. Now, that's really how simple it is, folks. You know, you try to tell this to people and you start sounding all new age and airy-fairy and they go, oh, yeah, you're saying the solution is love, you know. And they go all weird about it because they don't understand what love is. They think love is this fuzzy thing. They don't understand that love is simply the opposite of fear. And it is fear that holds this entire system together. You know, people even go and vote these days. They go and vote these criminals in because of fear they'll get penalised or punished if they don't. Well, that's what happens in Australia here anyway. You know, you're signed up to the electoral roll and you'll get fined if you don't go and vote and all things will go terrible for you and you must walk between the lines for all the fear of what will happen if you do otherwise. I mean, this whole system is fear-based mind control, folks. And, you know, looking at it realistically, as unrealistic as it may seem to some people, the real way out of this system is for people to simply love each other. Respect each other. Allow other people to think differently. Don't tolerate what these governments are doing. Don't tolerate for voices to be silenced, even if you don't like what someone's saying. All this censorship and all this stuff, it's not acceptable, folks. And just calling this for what it is, but doing it not from a state of aggression, but doing it from a state of love and doing it from a state of respect and steadfastness. That's how to do it, folks. I mean, I'm not saying don't get angry. Sure, you should get angry. I'm angry. I'm incredibly angry. But I channel that anger into positive output such as this. I don't channel it into violence. I don't channel it into violent activity or violent language if I can help it. I mean, sometimes I respond as violently as people may attack me. But even when I do that, I mean, I always regret it. I don't like doing this sort of stuff. And we've got to learn how to simply stand in what we are, folks, because that's how we change the world, you know. But again, it's not going to come until you learn how to love yourself. And once you do love yourself, once you really get to that level and see what you really are, as I've said so many times, love and respect for others comes by default at that point. But folks, I think I have to go now because we've reached that time again, ladies and gentlemen, where it is now the end of the radio show. Thank you very much for coming and joining me again this week. And thank you to the people who came to the talk that I gave in Brisbane on Anzac Day on Thursday night. I was actually quite surprised to see that many people there. There was a wonderful crowd of people, beautiful people. It was a really cozy, really nice group, completely packed out. I was amazed we got so many people crammed into that little building. But it was really good to see. It was a great group, a very positive crowd. It was really good to be able to sit there and just share with people like that for a couple of hours. Very impromptu, sort of unplanned kind of a talk. More of a conversation, which I really enjoyed having. And it was great to see so many people that want to get involved in making a difference. And I think there's a group forming from that meeting that we've had, which is going to attempt to organise a 5G action group in the air and possibly get this barrister friend of mine to come up and help mount the action for them. So that's a really, really good thing to see. And it was just so much positive energy from the group, and it was a wonderful experience. So thank you all very much for coming. And that's about the only talk that I have planned at the moment, folks. But as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there may be one coming up in Byron Bay in the next couple of months. If that does happen, I'll let you know. And failing that, I will be speaking very likely in Philadelphia around September. So that's something that I'll keep you posted about as well. But that is pretty well it for me, folks. Thank you to all the wonderful people who send me so many kind emails. I'm going to try to get some of these answered again this week. I have a huge backlog. And thank you to all my Patreon supporters. As I always say, I could not do any of this were it not for the help that you people give me. And you are the ones who've kept the show on the air for the last 3 or 4 years, folks. So thank you very much for that. And I'm sure many of the listeners out there thank you as well, because without you, we simply couldn't get this message out. But I've now completely run out of time, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.